This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to the Country Duty Show on CliffCentral.com. My name is Dumisole, and I'm joined in the studio by two Imbokodos.
Hello, hello, guys. We're all here today. It's been actually a long time since we actually had the show. Welcome back, and thank you very much for tuning in tonight.
Hi, guys. This is Rami. Yes, I'm back. I'm the notorious one who overworks, and yeah.
Welcome back, Rami.
It's been a while, but I'm glad to be back.
Good to have you back.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
an awesome song to start with, though.
Indeed. Unfortunately, we're meeting under very sad circumstances.
Yeah. It's still unbelievable.
It still is. And very, sad that this has happened.
Yeah.
But may Mama Winnie's soul rest in peace.
Absolutely. That is so correct, I think more than anything, I think that's all we'll be talking about today on the show.
Yeah, that is going to be the most important thing that we're going to be talking about today, like a way that we want her to be remembered, because, South Africans will not miss an opportunity to make something out of something, to make something so big into something so trivial. So we will be remembering her as the woman that she was, the mother of the nation.
Absolutely.
The struggle stalwart, the person who fought for women's rights, who fought for the nation's rights, who fought for black
children,
people,
black people,
who was unapologetically black and our hero. So please do call us on 0861 555 189. WhatsApp number is 0797482090, and our Twitter handles are @handful_k,
@RamiTweni,
@Dumisole,
@CountryDutyZ8,
and hashtag. Please use the hashtag.
Yeah. Indeed.
Hashtag Country Duty.
That's where we'll be able to pick up your tweets and stuff. The show today, really, we strive for it to be interactive. We'll be reading your tweets that came through over the past couple of days. Some of the screenshots that we took, we'll definitely mention your handles. But we really would like for you to be part of it, and we officially talk about Mama Winnie. How's the week been, guys?
It was sad. It was. Like, for me, I'm still in shock. I remember when Mzwaki is the one who actually told me this first, and I didn't believe him, and I had to go onto the news websites to confirm.
Yeah.
And when I saw it, like, I got chills. And for some reason, before the sadness came fear. Like, I got very scared, because the timing of her death is what scared me the most, considering where we are right now as a nation. And the responses, I think, that came in about her death also, I thought would be something that would trigger something like a Cold War or something like that. But
I get exactly what you're talking about, because to be quite honest, I was shocked as well.
Yeah.
Because, Mama Winnie, those people that you think they want to live forever.
Forever.
For Mama Winnie, I will sound a bit selfish, but for Mama Winnie, 81 is actually nothing, if you know what I mean.
Mm.
I was expecting 95, 99,
yes, exactly.
100, and it was okay. If it's about me only, like, where she's going to, like, end up, like, going blind and still with the same fighting spirit in her old age.
I mean,
because
we
can't even say she was old. That's what I'm saying. In her old age, for me, the old age was still coming.
It was still coming.
Yeah.
I looked at the video of her 80th birthday and the speech that she was giving, and I was like, there's no way that somebody can tell me that it was time.
Yeah.
But it was a proper shock.
It was a definite shock. And it was actually, it's very sad for the country as a whole, I mean, to me, when you talk about tweets over the past few days, I mean, there's a lot of them that I remember.
Yeah.
That I remember, like, from the top of my head. I remember someone like Florence Masebe saying, we will never get to understand the extent of the pain. Like we are lost. We are a motherless bunch. We've lost a mother. We are now a motherless bunch.
100%.
And I remember Clema Wisa saying, she is just so sad.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't know how to feel. All she knows is that she is sad.
Yeah.
And then someone was like, I woke up and then after waking up, I remember that Mama Winnie had died.
Yeah.
And the grief just engulfed me all over again. You know? And that phrase that they like using on social media, we were never ready.
Absolutely not.
No,
and this is the thing. I mean, one of the things that I also tweeted was she was a mother to the motherless.
Yes, definitely.
The reason that she's the mother of the nation is exactly that. She took everyone in and didn't really care about, you know, who you come from and your family standing, but ensured that he gave that love. And I think it's very important that we remember her in that way. And we'll talk shortly about the negativity and what it means and what to make of it. But I think Mam Winnie really lived a life dutifully and ensured that we are here, amongst other things, as a result of her standing up and ensuring that she kept the memory alive and gave us an opportunity.
Yes, definitely. But and also, I think we can also ignore the negative side of things. I mean, I know we don't necessarily want to dwell on it, but I think in a way, I think it's important to touch on it, because I think most of it is not just it's ignorance, if you know
deliberate
what I mean.
Deliberate ignorance.
100%. And I think we're doing serious disservice for our young ones if we're not going to like properly document and tell our stories. I think that's someone, I don't know if it was Portia Gumede or Florence Maseve as well, who said, listen, if we do not tell the stories, our stories, the way that we are supposed to tell them, and then we give them to the oppressor to tell it for us, then they will tell it from their version of events and that favors them.
Yes.
And then now we'll find ourselves that we're at a disadvantage. That is why now we find that we are now throwing each other with tweets all over the place. We are fighting amongst each other because we are fighting about what we actually don't know.
Indeed.
If you know what I mean. We don't know.
And Rami, you know, before we even get there, may I propose just a format? I think let's get on to the life and times. You know, the good that we know and we've read about. Let's take tweets, let's WhatsApp messages, and they keep coming. Do you send them? And also just say your name, because we just get a, you know, RIP Mam Winnie from 061. I won't finish off the number, but you know, we want to see those messages. We want to hear your views about Mam Winnie and what it means to you. Our WhatsApp number is 079-748-2090. You can call us on
0861-555-189.
Yes. And do send your tweets to @Tumisole on Twitter.
@Ramichweni.
@Handful_K, @CountryDutyZA, and #CountryDuty, #CountryDuty on Cliff Central.
Yes. Okay, before you get into those things, I think maybe we should start ourselves, you know. I think all of us have personally met Mam Winnie. All of us.
I haven't.
Oh, no.
I would have loved to.
Oh, no, guys, you need hugs.
We do. And we are hoping to leverage from you and your, you know, presence. But I think we somewhat, given her, you know, aura and how she was, we've individually met her differently.
Yeah.
If you know what
no,
you mean.
No, absolutely.
You know, and that for me is great. But just share with us your...
Let me tell you. Okay, I've met Mam Winnie a couple of times, but the first time I saw her, I could not speak.
Okay.
I think the first thing that strikes you with Mam Winnie is that it's her beauty. Okay? That woman was absolutely beautiful. And when I mean beautiful,
still
I'm talking
is.
About say fathe batong, her face.
But the smile.
The smile, the nose, the eyes, it's in the eyes. Mm. Then she had this booming voice and she talks like this. And she has this. So sometimes I don't know whether when Mam Winnie walks into a room, I don't know whether you get dumbfounded by her actual physical beauty.
Yeah.
Or by the grace and the poise that she possess, or the actual dignity and like when she walks in, like you turn, someone just walked in. Is that thing when you're facing the other way, you can feel from the back of your head that I might not know who it is, but someone huge, someone big, someone great just walked in. And that was Mam Winnie.
Yes.
Then you look at her and then she's towering above a couple of people.
Mm-hmm.
And then she starts smiling, she starts laughing, and then she interacts with everybody.
Yeah.
You know, she wasn't that person that that you can't. She was so easily accessible. I mean, yeah. you could easily knock on the door and go like, "Dumela, hi, Nero, to wana mama wini," kind
and
of
I
a
think
thing.
That's something that's also, you know, stood out for me, because she's one of the few people who actually didn't move from the townships and stayed
stayed there
with the people,
didn't
and
bother.
She was there. She was home, and the neighbors, when they were talking when they were being interviewed and stuff, would talk about the humility and
definitely
the person that she was and how she was just somebody that you could go to and still a refuge. As she was back then, she's still a refuge. A refuge right now to the country.
And when she turned 80, she had that, because remember, she had a whole series of birthday parties.
Of course. I mean, she's a legend. I mean, and like, who wouldn't do that?
Who wouldn't do that? But I was fortunate enough to be invited to one of the parties. And yes, I took a picture. I just didn't want to show off.
Can you please just tweet it when you have
time?
And as part of the show.
I will do that.
And it's not, I don't think, you know, people who put up pictures are doing so. It's really just to show that it really takes a few to have met. Someone of her stature, you know, and for some of us who have not met her, we can see, I mean, from your R. Kelly's, your international artists,
everybody,
you could see that everyone was starstruck. They're looking at her and they're thinking, this icon. And it just talks to, you know, her, as I said, you know, ability to deal with issues, to take in so much. I mean, and we'll go now on the tweets and what has happened and stuff like that. But she was that strength.
Definitely.
And gave not only, you know, her children and stuff, but everyone and held it throughout, you know.
And another thing that I liked about Mamwinika is her intelligence, her wit, goodness, her comebacks, her... the way she speaks, the way she relays messages. I mean, even the same birthday message that you're talking about from her 80th birthday.
Yes.
I mean, she was just going at everyone with such grace and humor. You couldn't help but laugh. Yeah. But she was fearless and she was stabbing everyone. She was stabbing them with their sins and say, hey, this is you now. We see you. We see what you're up to. Don't think we do not know. Fix your issues.
Yes.
But, you know, I mean, I think she's the only person, I don't know about other statesmen, and look at me talking like about my win like she was the president.
She should have been.
And we know we can get to the politics.
She
was the female president that South Africa never
had. Definitely.
And this is what it was.
Yeah. You know? And I think she's one of the few people who could actually have everyone at her own personal party with people from different types of political backgrounds who actually don't necessarily like each other or who don't even want to work together.
Yeah.
But they sat under the sound of her voice and they submitted, you know. And for me, that is power.
It is.
That is absolute power. And her sense of giving, her sense of, you know, I mean, this whole thing of thinking about people, thinking about orphans, trying to get things right. The youth looked up to her, you know. And people, I like when people, they're like, for instance, I can give you an example about Julius, and people are like, yeah, hey, mama, we need Julius, this relationship. I'm like thinking, you know, actually don't understand. Julius was born and he was dropped kostupung sa mama win.
Simple as that.
You know, he was born there. And I think I actually tweeted and say, in fact, the way she was so passionate about the young people, in my personal opinion, I don't think it would have the EFF had it not been for the influence and the fighting spirit of Mama Winnie Mandela. That's my opinion.
I actually agree with you. And it's exactly that. I mean, if you look at what Julius and I think the EFF say, it's really something that was inspired Mama Win, who, you know, despite them being outcasts in the ANC and having faced this, she took them in. She didn't say, now that you're out of the party, I no longer care about you. And, you know, but it just shows you that motherly love, that importance of appreciating.
Because, I mean, even when I was reading up on her stories and everything, it says that after her mom passed away, she took on the motherly role and she helped her. She took care of her sisters and everything. When she got to Barra after her studies, she did her research was on the infantile deaths that were happening because there were so many happening. That was what her research was based on. So she's always been somebody who's always had that whole mothering nature and the nurture.
She was the first professional social worker.
She was the first black professional social worker. Where she did, so she's always been the mom. And one of the things that that stuck out for me was the quote that she says when she said, I'm just going to read it quickly. It says, I was in prison in the fort for the first time in 1958.
Yeah.
My pregnancy was there, and I was visited by my children in the same prison 18 years later in 1976. The very daughter that I had been expecting when I was in that prison for the first time, in pursuit of the very same ideals. So it touched me, you know, to know where your first pregnancy and the first child that you're about to have, you can't really be. I'm a mom. Yeah. I'm a mom, guys. Yeah. And when I was pregnant with my kid, I just the freedom to be able to celebrate and be happy and be because the child as well in the womb feels the emotions that you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I can only imagine what her daughter must have been going through with her, and then to still have to come back and see her mom in there.
Yeah.
As a mom, not being able to raise your own children.
Yeah.
One of the things that the audios that keeps being played as well on radio is how she wasn't able to see her children go to school on the first days because she was banned from schools.
Yeah.
It's heart-wrenching, the things that she had to give up or that were taken away from her as a mom, as a woman.
Yeah.
For the nation and for the struggle, and for people to now turn around and just spit in her memory like that, it breaks you.
But then does it not shock you how, like for me, I keep saying, what manner of a person is this woman for her to be so intimidating, so, I mean, she walks in and she makes people uneasy. People tremble with fear.
Yeah.
People didn't want to even give a space to do anything. That's how afraid they were of her.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, what kind of a force, what man of a force would this person have had to be for everybody? I mean, remember what after Madiba was released and he was supposed to go to the US, they branded her as
a terrorist.
An international terrorist.
Yeah. Indeed.
Because they knew the power that she was. Does not mince her words. She doesn't laugh. She doesn't joke. She's not going to be brushing someone's ego. Mm-hmm. She's going to say, listen, you colonizer, I see what you are up to.
Yeah.
You are oppressing our people and you think I'm going to sit here at a table and laugh with you.
And laugh.
Yeah. I am not going to do that.
She gets down to business.
Exactly.
She's not afraid to get her hands.
And the way, even after Madiba came out of, after Madiba came out of jail, they were just trying to separate them as much as they could. They were like, 100%. Keep that woman away from that man. And they just started this whole fake news thing that started back in the day. I mean, they put profiles and profiles. They fabricated news. They fabricated articles. They fabricated stories. The list is endless.
Propaganda.
And I think so much propaganda. I mean, really, really, really. And then now we want to sit here and ignore the intensified power that is actually that's Winnie Mandela.
Yeah. No, we can't. And we really have to, in our view, and I mean, I've seen a gazillion of tweets talking about, and correctly what you also said, you know, rewriting history and ensuring that her memory lives on. And I think we owe it to ourselves, we owe it to the young upcoming kids to really set the record straight and talk about the Winnie Mandela that really kept the nation strong.
Yeah.
And she did that for everyone, for all of us.
When nobody else, when people couldn't,
this is the thing. And for me, one will always ask, and someone said on Twitter that, you know, icons pass away and it's really up to us to make a meaningful contribution. Yeah. But we'll never, ever, in my view, make a similar or same meaningful contribution as she did.
Yeah.
And you know, someone also tweeted the other day that you know, she kept the memory alive. If it weren't for her, Nelson Mandela would not have been what he ultimately came to be.
Yeah.
And really it was through her strides, through her pain, that ensured that the memory of Nelson Mandela lives on.
True.
And we must give credit where it's due. You know, it doesn't really help that we want to decode or not really point out the real issues.
And by the way, we mustn't forget that she was the one who founded and led the Free Nelson Mandela campaign.
100%.
Had it not been for that campaign, I don't think things would have moved as speedily as they had. I mean,
indeed.
Speedily as in like inverted commas, if you know what I mean. I mean, she was ready to go to war. I mean, I was watching another interview where she was like, listen, if it means right now, standing up, taking up arms and going, I will go right now.
Yeah. There is a clip where she says that they try, just the more they try silence her husband, the louder she will speak. Like they're going to, the more they fight to kill him and to kill his spirit and to have his voice snapped, the louder she will speak, because she will do whatever it takes for him not to be forgotten.
Yeah.
And the incarceration and the attempts that the government then did, where everything was what she was fighting, and she actually succeeded in fighting them.
Indeed. Yeah. I mean, and talking about, you know, what kept her going, Ngwaku Rem tweeted a quote from her, and it reads, "When I was arrested, I was tortured so much that the only time I got to rest was when I fainted.
Yeah.
Those faintings spells kept me alive. They tried to break me, but I had my people in mind the whole time." And that shows you the strength and character of Mary. You know, it's always been about other people, her people, to say, I have to be strong for them, you know. Yeah. And not everyone can do that. You know, the likelihood is when you are tortured and in pain, you end up somehow confessing to things that you've not done for you to be alive. Yes. But she was happy and ready to die for her beliefs and ideals. And really, it shows, you know, how great she was as a mother and a fearless fighter, and that's her, you know.
So when we talk about 491, I think in a bit we need to go and just check our messages and read what people are saying. But you know, when you read 491, the book, she talks about being in solitary confinement. Mm. Basically, you don't even mix with anyone else. You're just sitting there alone. Guys, 491 days is basically a year and like
a couple of months,
you know. And that is long. And all she had, she's like, they even put, I mean, as a woman, in how in a year, you would get your period 12 times at least.
Yeah.
And all she had was a bucket.
Yeah.
A bucket. No sanitary, nothing. No pads, nothing. Mm. A bucket. They gave her a sanitary bucket. Okay. Some of us right here, right now, you showered this morning. You're going to get home. Before you jump into your bed, what are you going to do?
Shower.
Jump into the shower.
Yeah.
This is someone who would go for longer than 90 days without having taken a bath.
Yeah.
And as a woman who gets her periods monthly, and next thing, I mean, then there's just this order that is sitting there. Then you get tortured.
Yeah.
You get fed things that is not food that's not even
that's
good
not edible.
For
your
food, like, man. You thing, know,
like eat stuff, okay, and then still come out and gracefully walk the street and say they thought they were gonna do it. You know what, guys? Let's go back. Let's go fight them again. And she would do it over and over and over and over again.
You know, one of our followers and who's listening, when we talk about how the apartheid government wanted to break Mama Winnie's spirit and ensure that really they you know, destabilize her, says, you know, it's very interesting if you look at how they also treated Steve Biko. This was similar tactics to use to intimidate, ensure that, you know, if you can kill or hit a person's spirit, that becomes easier because, you know, you'd have penetrated them. And this is from Dr. Makale Mela at MMDMWW.
Makhalemela.
I apologize. That's his handle. But and I'm happy that, as I said, he's drawing the similarities between Mamuin and Steve Biko insofar as torture and how it was necessary to really hit a nerve, which is one spirit, for you to be able to concede. And that never happened. And that's what kept our people going.
And when she came out, she said that the years of imprisonment hardened me. Perhaps if you had given me a moment to hold back and wait for the next blow, your emotions wouldn't be as blunt as they have been in my case. When it happens every day of your life, when the pain that becomes a way of life, I no longer have the emotion of fear. There is no longer anything that I can fear. There is nothing that the government has not done to me. There isn't any pain I haven't known.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, and that's what it is. I think at the end of the day, if you think about it, I mean, an hour is never enough for talking about such a queen, an Imbokota, and someone who really held the nation going. But please do send your WhatsApp messages on 079-748-2090 and call us on 0861-555-189. Send your tweets as well, and we'll be able to read those. Use the hashtag Country Duty, and we'll hear from you.
Speaking about tweets, I have one from Still Deboho who's asking, was it just intimidation, or is there something that happened in the ANC between the leadership and Mama Winnie? I mean, the way that Ntatembeki really snubbed her and has spoken poorly about her, what really happened there? I actually missed the interview or the talk that Ntatembeki said about her.
Yeah, that is true. You know, to be quite honest, I can actually say what happened within the leadership of the ANC regarding Mama Winnie, but I know
it was
that...
fear.
I know that when... Jacob Zuma was going to was then to be deputy.
Yeah,
Mama Winnie was the other
contender,
and that's where like things started falling apart. You know, it's like they started a whole, you know, propaganda against her as well. You know, even within like they just like kind of
this
what's
is the
word
that
fabricated.
No, but I want to say like start to like. To demerit, if there's a word like that, like to just undermine the kind of person that she was, you know, going
but
back to a whole lot of
things. I don't understand, because I mean, you know what, she and that's something that because she fought for the ANC.
Listen, let's not get it twisted. ANC. Let's not get it twisted. I with much respect to the ANC and the leadership and everything, had Mama Winnie Mandela been a president, we would be talking a different story altogether.
100%.
That's all I can say.
In fact, on an article on Huffington Post,
someone who can actually intimidate someone who has an R5 or an AK-47 and then an R, shoot me. But those people are getting them out of that van. If you want to shoot me, you can shoot me. I don't care.
Coming out,
You know? And then she released the people. Which is why you find that most of the squatter camps, people's squad, they're like, no, this is the Winnie Mandela squatter camp. You're like, how?
Can't do it.
Why the Mama Winnie the squatter camp? You know why? It's not because they were trying to say she deserves the squatter while people are getting nice roads in Pretoria or in suburban Joburg. No, it is not that. Yes. It is because the people understood that the only person who would come to the ground was that one.
Indeed. And we remain grateful for that and her fighting spirit. We're taking your tweets and your WhatsApp messages on 079-748-2090. And we're hoping to hear from you. Use the hashtag Country Duty and tag also cliffcentral.com. Let's talk the life and times. I know that we don't really have much of the time, but would really like to hear from you.
So are you reading?
I'm waiting for you to tweet your picture.
Let me find it.
Your encounter rather with Mamwin and how it was and for you to be able to share a few things about that. What happened at the party? I mean, how did Cyril and Julius really just sit along and smile? I mean, there was this huge, beautiful picture.
Cyril and Julius are friends.
No,
really.
They are. They love each other.
Did you hear how lovely they were in Parliament even? Yeah. They're best friends, those two.
Yeah, no, they love each
Not
other,
like
those two.
That,
definitely.
Like our former president. That one, it's just war there.
No, they managed to sit peacefully. I mean, even Patricia de Lille was there, and who Mama Winnie still like, I've been told the story. Huh? People, she was like, are there people who are like trying to detract us? And then the whole parliament turned around and looked at Mama Winnie Mandela after Patricia de Lille said, made that statement. Yeah. So, I mean, she took a jab at her, at Patricia de Lille at her party as well. So it's amazing that when you put politics aside, and then everyone is human, you'll be surprised how how well they actually do get along with each other. It's actually very, very, very interesting.
There's a song, yeah, Tandi, and it's quite fitting in my view, and it's really one that we ought to play in such instances. And I think everyone knows it. And if you're at home listening or you're driving, sing along and in memory of Mama Winnie, Selector.
Revolutionaries die and the children forget. The ghetto is our first love and our dreams are drenched in gold. We don't even cry.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to the Country DT Show. Thank you very much for staying with us. Our WhatsApp number is 079-748-2090 and our studio number is 0861-555-189. We are still going to be talking a little bit more about Mama Winnie Madikizela Mandela, but before we continue with that conversation, as you would have seen, we are doing the Alex Drive on Country Duty, which is helping out the community of Alex who have been affected by the floods, with just a few contributions here and there. So in light of that, or in line with that, we are also going to be looking into a couple of community projects that other people are also doing. And we've got a few people in studio with us today. So hello, guys.
Hey,
hello.
How are you doing?
Hi. Could you please tell us who you guys are and what you guys do and a little bit about your program?
My name is Sihle.
Hi,
I'm
Sihle.
Here with Bravo. And our wonderful student, Nokanya.
Hi, Nokanya.
Hello.
Yeah. So basically, we have a community project that we run that focuses on giving kids after school maths lessons. So what we do, what we try to do is, because we see that the whole school system is not enough to cater for all the needs of the kids in school. So we decided, you know what, let's just open up maths lessons where the students can come after school and get to learn, get to get a different perspective, because what we've tried to do is to open up a very loving, fun environment where students can learn and they can actually ask any questions that they want. Bravo can actually add more into the whole project.
Yes, Bravo, do add more. And you spoke about students and staff. Are you targeting your grade 11, grade 12s, university students and staff?
Well, basically, we target the whole grade 8 to 12 learners.
Yeah.
But we do also spill over into varsity students. As Nokanya, he has one of our students that came through the program, is at varsity and is still receiving the support.
Yes.
Because what we focus on as well is the psychological aspect of learning.
Yes.
We focus on the different forms of learning. So we try and ensure that our tutoring is learner specific in terms of how we give you the content.
Yes.
And we also try and be there as coaches and mentors for the students as they're progressing through life, because we feel that's quite important for them to have.
Great stuff.
Bravo, you just sounded like you're giving students answers. Like,
you're going to give me the scope. When you walk in there, these are the answers you're going to give these people.
Oh, no, you can ask this young lady over here.
So I'm going to ask Nokanya. Nokanya? Nokanya, please. Okay, how long have you been with the program?
It's been probably like 4 years.
So since high school, now into tertiary.
Yes, yes.
And how has it helped you?
It has helped me a lot in terms, well, I would say psychologically, because Bravo's been there for me throughout my whole journey from high school all the way through to tertiary. And he helped me a lot, especially in matric, because that's where I had an encounter with him. Yeah, he helped me a lot in terms of matric with maths and English, because I was struggling with those two, and he helped me improve my grades a lot. Yes.
So now, for you to go to learn the math, is it because you need it in tertiary, or you just wanted to pass in J?
I wanted to pass, honestly, but I also wanted to qualify.
You wanted to qualify, then you enjoyed it because now you've passed, you qualified, you've passed, but you're still with the program.
Yes. That, well, now that I'm in varsity, is helping me a lot with I would say guidance and tutoring.
And to add to what she said,
okay.
Like when she has an assignment, she'll give me a call, yes, and we'll actually discuss her assignment. I won't give her answers.
What did I say about the
answers?
Giving
answers. I'll give her a different perspective
in terms of think about this possibly, or look at this angle. Like even earlier this year when she had to go through subject choice for third year, we sat, we discussed the different subjects she would be doing and which would be most beneficial or which she would enjoy most. So that's what we do, even at the, as I was saying, a tertiary level. Right. Just being there to be able to have discussions with someone. And, you know, we're also hoping that I've actually organized for her to actually come on as an intern during vaccines so she can start gaining work experience.
Okay.
Great stuff. So tell us.
Sustains you. Okay.
And I mean, in the interest of time, where are you guys? How do people get hold of you? One of the things that we pride ourselves in doing is really putting out programs such as yourselves and promoting black businesses and stuff
if that you need funding.
100%. Tweet handles, contact details. We'll obviously put this on our Country Duty Twitter handle, or if you could mention us on Twitter, we'll retweet just to ensure that it goes out to the people.
And get the
if you're not on Twitter, you can tell us Facebook. I don't know how people do Facebook, but hey.
Twitter, guys. Like, that's where everybody is.
Okay, currently not on Twitter or Facebook. We'll be looking into getting those. But like, if anybody needs any further information or wants to contact us, you're welcome to send an email to info@ptw.org.za. Okay. You can also send an email to s.piri@ptw.org.za.
All right, those details will be up on our official Country Duty handle.
One last question. How do you sustain the program? How do you sustain the center? Do you have funding? Do people come in? Is volunteer work? Do people get paid? Like what? How do you do it? I just need to know because, you know, Nakongo, it's nice to start something and eventually, you know, you start getting flat along the way because it's not sustainable.
To be honest, at the moment, everything comes from our pockets. Me, Bravo, and everybody.
So you're basically broke. I saw you walked in.
So basically, we're doing it from our hearts. Yes. You know, it's something that we really want to give to the
because
community.
I think that's a good program for someone to actually come in, jump in with you guys.
That would be amazing.
And those are the things that we'll put up on our handle, which you need to get on as soon as possible.
Indeed. Okay, so you guys can only do maths and English, right? Though
so far, that's what we're focusing on because we're limited resource wise. Okay. So we think let's just focus on the core subjects, you know.
Yeah. True.
And when you've got support, then it gets bigger. Wow.
Indeed.
Pretty much.
No, we'll definitely put it up. We're hoping that by close of business tomorrow, you'll have a Twitter account, get your followers. And
we actually have like separate Twitter.
You know what you must do? You must give Nogu Kanya the assignment. I'm sure she'll sort it out quickly. She'll sort it out quickly and she'll do the admin. Now, since you're the intern, you're the one who's going to do all of that. But thank you so much, guys, for coming through. We wish you all the best. We wish you all the funding, all the money, and much success. We want to see the black child being able to be successful and not failing just because there was no one to help them. If you guys are there, then we know that we're going to be all right.
Yes, we are 100%. Right.
Yes. You're going to be right. You know what I mean? You're going to be... Oh, gosh.
Thanks for joining us. We'll talk just after the show to get the details once again and ensure that we put it up.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you guys
for the time.
Thank you.
Good absolutely.
That's awesome. And then our next guest is... Kana, what's your name? Sorry. Skona. Hi, Skona.
Skona, had you told me, I wouldn't have forgotten.
Kwela, So you have an app. Hi, Skona.
Hi, I'm well, and you?
Good. Yeah. Welcome to the show.
Yeah. No,
you don't need headsets. It's fine. Headsets are for the...
Thank you for having me.
So you have an app.
Yes.
And it's called Kwela. What is Kwela? What does it do?
Kwela is like Ukibela Vele.
Yes, actually. Right. Yeah. Incidentally, that was the original name, but it changed to Kwela. But Kwela basically is an app that virtualizes your taxi rank experience. We are promoting commuter safety and commuter connectedness by creating social platforms where commuters can air everything they want to air about their trip, and we can connect them to the relevant service provider to get real-time response as
taxi
quick
drivers.
As we can.
Complaints about taxi drivers.
Yes. Yeah. So not back to them.
If I want to complain about my driver, the owner of the... Of the taxi
precisely, because there is a board, so there's a huge information asymmetry problem where the operators are not actually the call it owners of,
and they drive like they are owners.
So a lot of things happen.
But you know, without disparaging the taxi drivers, I mean, they actually contribute so much to the economy.
No, absolutely. In fact, we love the taxis go on strike for 3 hours. Everything stops.
Yeah, no, right. Everything stops.
But let's talk about the app. For someone who actually hasn't seen it, I mean, yeah. And we'll see it.
Sure.
Firstly, how easy is it to access it? If for example, I'm from Rivonia now and I want to head to Dube, does it cater for such instances and what does it do?
So absolutely. So the app is supposed to, in operation, you go into it like you would any app on your phone. It gives you a map interface which shows you where you are and then shows you your closest taxi ranks in your periphery. Right. From that point, you can see the closest one and you can start identifying the different trips available as well as fares and main roads and routes that the taxis take.
Yes.
So you can also lodge a search where you say, this is where I'd like to go, and then we show you your most quality efficient ranks to use.
And I saw when I was reading up on it, it also gives a fair estimate of some sort. Now, given, I mean, I know petrol prices are increasing
tonight,
and stuff like that.
I think it's 70 cents.
70 cents.
Yo, jeez.
That was yesterday. But if, for example, I mean, how do you get it right insofar as taxis to Dube and Mapetla or Dobsonville for that matter?
Yeah.
The pricing, is it really, you know, a guesstimate of some sort or, you know, the work that goes in?
Yeah, of course.
How does that work?
I think what was fortunate for us is we managed to collaborate with, you know, an association that exists.
Great.
So you find that things are centralized and decided upon by a board, which then gets filtered out into the operation. So able to do both the internal and then foot research, we had to have people on the ground researching. Mm-hmm. So we started developing in 2015, and we've just been moving, researching the space and getting the relevant data and making sure that it's up to date and credible.
And do you think, like, the organize, because I know taxi associations, there's so many.
Yeah.
Do you think your app maybe somehow will bring peace in our land? Because if it's not Santaco,
absolutely,
with,
yes,
Santrinco, you know, there's like so many of them,
and then
they're fighting. Mabang is using a route. Like now we don't, and as commuters, we don't know. When are you getting to a taxi next thing?
You're being told to
the
get
other
out.
One being told to get out, and all of that. So
I'm
hoping maybe you know your app will eventually like take care of those kind of issues.
One of the things we're doing with Quella is data mining. There's a lot of data, commuter data. This is daily. I mean, the taxi industry carries in excess of 15 million people every day.
Every day,
so
definitely.
This is twice daily, and there's a lot of commuter data, especially in your central business districts. People are moving around a lot, and that becomes very important for the operators to understand how their clientele is moving, because when you have information and data, you realize there's no need to fight. There's more than enough business. In fact,
it is.
It's the biggest transport business that we have.
Absolutely.
So there's more than enough room for people to make more money, and the clashes come as a result of not having the actual data to back up that this route is active and this route is not, and this route operates this much, and this, and which is what data mining and, you know, this kind of innovation can help us do.
Wow,
and opening up
so brilliant. You're so clever right now. I'm just
I agree with
so
you.
Clever.
But you know, as you said, 2015 and stuff. People want to get hold of this, and I think one of the things that you touched on relates to safe and reliable transport, which is actually very important, and getting people around and stuff like that. How do people get hold of you, and what is it that they can do to be of assistance to you and partner with you? If someone is listening now and says, listen, that's brilliant, we want to contact and make sure that we are aligned and move this thing forward.
So we're definitely open to collaboration, because that's the only way we get anything moving forward. Currently, we're at the Innovation Hub, which is based in Pretoria, and that's where we are based, and that's where we are getting our incubation. On the 23rd of April, we'll be in Bree Taxi Rank, doing, you know, a mini pilot of people operating Quella in the rank, allowing them to download it data free. So we're supporting data, because we understand that the LSM that we're dealing with is very much constrained with data. In fact, everyone is, but you know, they feel it more.
I'm calling Tibo Taj.
So we are supporting the data, so commuters will get Quella for free onto their phones. They'll be able to operate it for free, as well as another a whole extended suite of options that are value add basic content off the Wi-Fi for commuters. Yes. So people will be able to access something like a curriculum for high school students, right? For matric students, let's say, you can access that through our Wi-Fi that we'll be putting there. So we understand that it's a very transitional place for people, and we're trying to make it into the next hip place. And it sounds very
levels,
weird.
Dude. Levels.
Following that long queue, you know, there's those queues at 6 o'clock, and you're trying to catch up with the bull, just so you're like thinking, I could be standing here watching Skim Sam, you know.
Not for Skim Sam, but
I'm just saying, you know.
But listen, your app is innovative, and I think it's great. We need to we need to make sure that it's promoted properly and it's out there, and there's potential for it. So hit us up on Twitter. We'll retweet and ensure that it's out there. But yeah, lovely talking to you.
So please look out for it. 23rd of April, Quella's in the streets, and it's the next place to be.
Yeah, great stuff. I would ask what's your soundtrack, but that's so mean. I'm sure that you can pick one of the Quella songs.
Soundtrack for Quella.
Yeah, you never know. Maybe
thanks, brother. Okay, thanks for joining us.
Good to meet you. Thank you for having me.
Good stuff. Hey guys, we are running a marathon. We're promoting black businesses and we're doing what we can. And our next I would say now a regular guest is here.
This is a follow up more than anything.
Yeah, that's why he deserves 1 minute.
Hi, Mpumi.
How are you?
Mpumi is from Book Ebony, and he is in Orlando. They are based in Orlando. They're basically a bicycle tour for Orlando West.
Yeah.
Bicycle tour for South Africa.
Oh, okay. My bad. Bicycle tour for South Africa.
Based in Orlando West.
Based in Orlando West.
Why are you limiting?
I'm correcting myself.
You know?
So you basically donate books to libraries, filling up the libraries around South Africa.
Yeah, we have a campaign called "Fill Up the Libraries with Books," and so we just cycled 53 kilometers from Vilagazi to Pinoni to go donate books that we collected in March.
This is so crazy.
And how many books did you collect?
250 books.
And what kind of books are you collecting?
We collect any kind of books at the moment, because libraries, when we ask them what kind of books they need any kind of books. But if we get children's books, then we take them to Orlando Children's Library in Orlando West.
Okay. Wow.
That's good. Yeah, I want to go back to when you were here. There was something that you had planned. I think it was for Valentine's or something. Love riding and coupling or something. but how did that go? And how was the support?
It was quite good. Because some of the books that we collected, they made up to the 250 that we donated in Pinoni. So I want to buy a chola out there, basically. Because we have a package, just to tell the guys also, we have a package called Bicycle Dates. So basically, it's just you and your partner or your crush. Yeah, just to use. Move away from the candlelight dinner to come in and have a bicycle date. So the bicycle date has a walking tour, a bicycle tour, a wall climbing activity, and some beer tasting, and a bit of hiking. So today I had clients, but we couldn't do the hiking because it's by Winnie's house.
Of course.
They closed off. But it was a great experience for our clients because they got to see them.
That's such a brilliant idea. Guys, because now I'm in my head, I know we need to wrap up, but
I'm saying we must do this thing.
Yeah. I think we need to do that. Okay, definitely. Because I'm also thinking what you're doing, because not only are you promoting reading, you're also promoting riding and healthy all of living, that, healthy living and all of that. And I think there are a lot of avenues that I think you can actually tap into, you know, things like, you know,
bicycle.
But I'm actually thinking going bigger, you know, forming a partnership with someone like Date My Family, and someone takes someone on a date on the bicycle kind of a thing. Do you understand? Those kind of things. Yeah. Well, I wasn't here when you were here, but you know what? I've got books in my car. I'm going to give you a few copies of my book.
Thank you so much.
I'll give you 20 books.
Thank you so much.
You can distribute them.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rami. That's an act of kindness.
Yeah.
Okay, my mom is rubbing off.
Yeah, so you guys, you must write books. We could be donating 60 books.
You know what I mean? Books.
I actually have a bicycle lesson. That's coming up soon, which is very, very terrifying for me. But anyway, you guys are actually here today to tell us about the bike color ride thing that you guys are going to be having soon.
So with regards to filling up the libraries with books campaign, This month we're doing a cycling in color. So it's more of your color run.
Yeah.
But on bicycles, so we have like bicycles strapped with color bombs, and then you have like your powder paints, and you have pit stops where there will be color. Mm-hmm. So we'll basically be around Orlando West. So the tour is around Orlando West. It's an educational and fun tour. So we might stop by Umamu Winnie's house, have a bit of a quiz there, just about see how the people know her, and then have fun. Yeah. So it's
all that's happening on the 28th. And I know we like talking fast. Do you have people who have partnered with you to do this color run thing, color bike?
Yeah, cycling in color.
Yeah, cycling in color.
So far we're speaking to a couple of people.
Yeah.
Well, someone is here who's a partner of us.
We love
consultancy in motion.
Okay.
So they more on the professional side of things.
Okay. Yeah.
So on the color,
tell us what
on the cycling
you need
run,
so we can put it up there. I'm sure there's someone who donate water, for instance. Maybe the city of Joburg can give you water.
We asked you to open up a Twitter account. That's where people actually get it.
Yes,
is it there?
But we
apologize. I'm still on.
You're just upset with Abo Bravo there. You're upset with
Bravo. Yeah, Abo Bravo.
They do tweet. They do tag us. They
do that. I think then, you know, once you said you get it out there, I think it will be easy for people to jump onto the wagon.
Yeah.
Like really, excuse the pun. Jump on it. Like,
and
you know, get to partner with you and work with you.
Yeah.
And I think it will be successful, because we're definitely all about like spreading and getting people on board, collaboration, partnership and everything. And unfortunately, time doesn't want to collaborate with any of us.
Yeah.
It is gone. Guys, we're literally like 30 seconds out of, like, we're literally supposed to be in our cars leaving, but here we are. But that has been Cliff Central. No, Country Duty on CliffCentral.com.
Right.
Yes, I know.
Thank you.
# Country Duty on CliffCentral.com.
Yes.
Please download the podcast. They're there. Find us. Talk to us. Tweet anything. Do all of those things.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's been great. Thanks for tuning in. See you next week. Yes, I'm going to be here.
This is CliffCentral.com.